Today we're going to finish with Mark chapter 1. How long has it been? It's been like 4 to 5 months on book of Mark. Okay, first chapter. But today, thank God, we're going to finish book of Mark chapter 1. Please open your Bibles to Mark 1 verse 40 through 45. Mark 1, 40 through 45. If you have your cell phone, go ahead and open your Bible on your cell phones. But please follow it. We remember it better if we listen to it and as we see it too. Okay? Amen? Amen. If you're there already, say amen. If you're not, say wait. All right, let's read it together. This is a story about Jesus. Just left Peter's house early in the morning. Peter was real upset that Jesus left his house. Peter's real upset. But Jesus had an encounter that was supposed to happen with a man. Before I go, I have my brother here and my sister-in-law, Peter and Natasha, are here. So they're in the back there. Give them a hand. I had four of my brothers here this week and a sister-in-law. And so someday I'm hoping we can have all seven of us for fishing trip all at once. So that would be kind of cool. I have six brothers. There's seven of us. I'm the oldest, control freak. But you know that. Can't help it. Hallelujah. Ready to read? Okay. Now a leper came to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, can you please make me clean?" Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." Now remember, this man could not live in a city. He could not come to Jesus' services. He had to wait outside of the city to meet with Jesus. Now, before he was a leper, he could have been a father. He could have been a businessman. He could have been a husband. He could have had friends. He could have been a Pharisee or a teacher of the law. He could go to a church and enjoy church. Imagine, this man could not go to church anymore. He couldn't. He was a leper. And leprosy was a disease that was spread. It would be passed on from people he would touch. So people were afraid of him, so they would let him live in caves or in ruins. This man had no life. He was a living zombie. We said that last week. Horrible condition. And Jesus, Bible says, moved with compassion. He was compassionate to him because Jesus knows how much pain we experience. If you ever had any like toothache, or if you had a joint pain, I know you probably don't, you're too young. If you ever fell down and hurt yourself, you know how much pain that is. But imagine, pain continues, there's no end in sight, your body parts are falling off. Your nose is not there anymore. You're a living mommy, you're a living dead, you're a zombie. That's what this man was. He was a leper. He couldn't see his kids. He couldn't hug anybody anymore. He couldn't hug his wife, kiss his wife. If you know, if you've been married, you look forward to those moments. You come home from work and you want your kids to hug you. I'm used to it. My kids, they run. And when I come from work, Tanya taught them well. Hallelujah. And they all run. They're supposed to give me a hug. It's a rule. No, it's her rule, thank God. And then she comes and I get to hug them every day and kiss them. And then sometimes in the morning when I leave and they're still sleeping, I peek in their room and if they're really cute and drooling, I come and hug them and say, "I love you." You know, that's a cool thing about being a husband and being a parent. Right? You get to hug your wife. You get to hug your kids. Amen. This man couldn't do that. He couldn't go to church. He could not have fellowship with believers. All he had was miserable, hurting leper people living in caves or ruins with him. That's no existent. And there is no anesthesia. There is no pills that could make you better. Yeah, he could get drunk, but he's still, his body is falling apart. He can't look himself in the mirror. When he looks, he's afraid. So he rather not looks. A lot of pain. A lot of pain. And Jesus, instead of staying in Peter's house and making him famous, he has compassion. That's a love. That's love. Man, this leper probably didn't deserve it. Why was he leper? Because we're all leper. Because sin has plagued, and with sin comes death. And Jesus didn't cause us to sin. Our father, Adam and Eve, from the beginning, and we in them. Because remember, you might say, well, I didn't sin the first original sin. Well, you were in them. You were in them, so when they sin, you sin. You see that? And Jesus has compassion. Because that's what he came. He came to heal the sick. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Because he has compassion on us sinners. He has compassion on us who are hurting. I have a theory. I'm so glad that medical doctors, when a sick person comes to a medical doctor, I'm so glad a medical doctor doesn't say, well, let me pray if it's the will of God. Aren't you glad? If you have pain in your body and you come to a doctor and he says, I'm going to pray to see if that's God's will first before I can cure you. No, what do doctors do? They have compassion. Their ministry is a ministry of compassion. They have compassion and they come and they do everything possible to heal a person. Because we Christians, we kind of started saying, well, Jesus doesn't heal anymore. So God had to raise up doctors to help them cure the pain. Listen, Jesus does not want you to be in pain. You were created not to be in pain. You were created to live for the glory of God. But when sin comes in and curse comes in into this world, it brings pain. You think sin is fun, but its ultimate goal is to bring us pain. Listen to me. It's gonna hurt. And Jesus has compassion on the pain of this man, and he heals him. How many of you are still with me? And listen, if you're struggling with something today, if you have some kind of a pain in your body, but most of all, if you're struggling inside, because the pain on the inside is more than even the one that we experience on the outside. That's what he came to do. He came to heal your broken heart. Listen, stop going to church and not doing anything about it. Stop. I hear so many stories. People say, I used to go to church. But did you live what it was preached? No, I don't do that. I just go to church and it didn't work. No, did you work it? You have to work this stuff in your life. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. You're wearing your pants and you're wearing our seats. We love to have you, but hallelujah. You see what I mean? We have to do what this word says. Otherwise, Bible says, if we only hear, we deceive ourselves. What is deception? It's believing your own lie. I don't want to do that. I don't want to believe my own lie. I don't want to lie to myself and then believe it. And then think it's the truth. It happens all the time. So Jesus has compassion on this sick man. And we all have sicknesses somewhere in our life. Physical, emotional. We're all screwed up people. And the closer you get to God, the more you walk with God, the more you see you're screwed up and you need His healing. You need Him to heal you. You need Him to break that curse out of your life. Have you ever noticed that what your parents did, you said you would never do, and then you end up doing it? Curse. Now, but some of you say, well, didn't Jesus came to deliver us from curse? Yeah, he came us to deliver us from, by his stripes we were healed, Bible says. Well, how come we're not healed then? Because you have to work at. You have to believe it, you have to practice it. He says, if you're willing, be cleansed. I don't think this man was a man of great faith. And I'm going to prove to you why today. I think he was just a regular guy who heard about Jesus. He maybe heard about that there is some kind of a mystic out there. He heals people. Remember, he couldn't hear him preach. The lepers could not be in a crowd. This guy knew nothing about Jesus. Last week, I kind of made him a man of faith. And I'm sorry, I kind of take that back. He's not a man of faith. Today, I got a bigger revelation. He was not really a man of faith, baby. No, he wasn't. I'm going to show it to you. And let's see. He's like, if you're willing, if it's your will. And Bible says he didn't have faith. Jesus had compassion. Compassion is a powerful tool. Bible didn't say, great is your faith, woman or man, leper. Didn't say that. He said, I feel so bad for you. You look so horrible, buddy. You're so messed up. I mean, you're hurt on the inside. You're bitter. You hate God. Because, I mean, imagine suffering like that for 5 years. Imagine suffering like that for 10 years, 15. Who knows how long it was. This man had to suffer with this leprosy. A living zombie, a living dead. Jesus has compassion on him. I'm so glad that when sometimes we don't have faith, when we're faithless, he still remains faithful. Because he can't deny himself. Sometimes when we reject him, he still chases after us. Sometimes when we get bitter and angry and offended at him and say, God, where are you? Man, if I could, I would punch you. That's just me though. Never happens to you. You're too religious even to admit it. But it does. Sometimes pain just comes and you're like, man, because we're all imperfect, sinful human beings. And you just want to blame somebody. And if you can't touch God, you go and hurt other people. Satan, he's so bitter at God, he can't touch God though. So guess what? He goes and hurts people. And that we do like our father, Satan, sometimes. Excuse me. Remember what Jesus said to Pharisees? He said, you do the work of your... Sometimes we do the work of our other father. The old father. The bad father. Remember, now supposedly our father is supposed to be God. And Jesus said, if your father was God, you would do his deeds. But because your father... Oh, I don't want to even go there. Check your life. What kind of works you do? That's who your father is. We do like our fathers. And sometimes we are so not like the father who is in heaven. We're so like sometimes the other father. I am. I've been a Christian a long time and I'm sometimes so like my other father that I don't want to be like. This man was not really a great man of faith. He said, if it's your will, if you could spare me a dollar, brother, would you spare me a dollar? And Jesus says, man, that's not what's going to get you healed, man. But because I'm so compassionate, so full of love, I love people who are broken. I didn't create you this way. I know what sin has done to you. It's really, sometimes you can't even help it what it does to you. But I came to destroy the works of the devil. And it says, I have compassion on you. My prayer is today, is that God has compassion on us. Because sometimes I just look at people and I'm sure they look at me the same way. And they just can't help it. They just don't get it. Have you ever spoke to somebody something and they just don't get it? You're like, oh, that's a lost cause. I can't do this anymore. That's how we are sometimes, spiritually speaking. We just don't get it. And in those moments, I pray for the grace. I don't deserve it. I don't get it. But I want it. I don't deserve this. I don't get it. But I want it. And I'm sure I've acted the same way many times. Because sometimes people tell you, and you just don't want to admit it, but you know it's true. Hallelujah. This man came to Jesus. He heard some kind of a witch doctor, faith healer, mystic, prophet, whatever you want to call him. Notice that this man didn't take time to investigate. Why didn't Pharisees like Jesus and his healings? Because they didn't, it's not that they were bad people, they just didn't believe that he was the Son of God. They wanted more time to investigate him, scrutinize him. They wanted more time to criticize him, talk about him, and then somehow maybe he's going to fit in their mind. This man had no time like that. Let me give you an example. Imagine now, Eastern Buddhist mystic comes to town. And your shoulder hurts. Okay? And they say, he's a healer, but you're a Christian. Remember that. We know that God is only healer. We don't go to witch doctors for a healing. We don't do voodoo. We don't do, you know, magic spells and potions. And some of you just like, well, I have a pain in my body. Doctors can't help. I'm going to go without checking him out. What would the rest of you say? Mature Christians. How could you do that? What if he's from the devil? What did Pharisees say about Jesus? How could you go to him? Yes, he heals, but what if he heals with the power of Beelzebub? That's a cool name, Beelzebub. Don't name your kids that way. It means master or king of flies. That's what it means. Beelzebub. That's what they were saying about Jesus. You're healing with the power. They didn't know. Notice this man was not, he was a secular guy. This leper was not really a religious person. Or he was too desperate. And desperate people will do anything. If you're desperate enough, you do anything. And so I wouldn't say that he was a man of God, this leopard, or man of faith. He just heard that there is a healer in town, and I'm going to go get my healing from him. Help me out. Are you still with me? Do you know where I'm going with this? And he came to Jesus imploring him, begging him, please, if you're able to heal, would you please heal me? And Jesus does this. Imagine this. A man doesn't have a nose, cartilage here, it's gone. His fingers are wrapped up and he smells really bad. He's unclean, that's for sure. He's limping. His clothes is sticking to his body. There's a rotting smell coming out from him. And Jesus comes to him, touches him, and leprosy leaves him and restores him in a second. You try touching somebody like that. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. So what is it inside? So the physical body cannot heal. There's got to be something in this house that Jesus had. You try. You have the same physical body that Jesus does. Amen? Otherwise, he wouldn't be a human. So how come when I touch people, nothing happens? Dylan, help me out here. There was like something in this bottle. You know, if this was a bottle, there was something in it. Then when you touch somebody, medicine came out and in a second would heal a person. Remember, leprosy was a horrible disease. It disfigures a person. And Jesus touches him, and this man who was a cast out of society, in those days, it was popular to think that he was a sinner. People would say, you got punished by God. Even disciples of Jesus, in one occasion, came to him and said, who sinned? Him or his parents? Maybe not him, but maybe his parents, and he's getting punished. Jesus doesn't ask all that. He knows it all. Comes, touches him, and he's healed. And now, this man, what we're going to look at quickly. He's excited, right? Listen to, but that's not the whole thing. After he heals him, and imagine it was you or me. I imagine if it was me, man. Oh, I'd be knocking people over, running. I mean, I don't know what I would do. What would you do? If it was you who got healed. Fall on the floor and be like a rock star. I remember my brother Peter. Can I say this, Peter? When he was a kid, he would imitate a rock star. He would take like a guitar and oh my goodness, what he would do on the carpet. I'm not trying to embarrass you, brother. He'd fall. He would show moves. He would try to crash that guitar. I mean, you should see him. I mean, he would be so for real. I'm like, man, don't go too far with that. Anyway, and so, I mean, what would you do if you were healed? What would you do if you were made whole? You can see your family again. The enemies of your family, of you. Now you can say, nah, 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 nah. Look at me now. Who's the sinner now, huh? Now, nothing spiritual about him yet, right? Natural human emotions. Let's keep going. As soon as he spoke, Jesus spoke this, immediately leprosy left him. Now, in the Bible, it speaks as though leprosy is a thing or a being that leaves. Have you ever read, when you read the Bible, it's always, it leaves. Resist the devil and it will flee or leave. Somehow it just leaves. I don't know how to explain that. Somehow it just does, okay? Never mind. Let's keep going. And Jesus strictly, verse 43. Let's go to verse 43, guys. Okay. And Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. Next. See that you do not tell this to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for you, for your cleansing, as a testimony to them. And let's keep going. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in the lonely places. And people, what does it say? Came to him from everywhere. So the second part today of this is the two questions I want to ask you. Two questions. Why did Jesus strictly forbid healed man to tell anyone? One. And two, why did this man disobey, disregarded Jesus' order, and went out and told everyone? This scripture, listen guys, this scripture has been bothering me for a long time. I don't know if you read it. It's like, Jesus, why not let people go and talk about you? Why did you strictly forbid this healed man to share his excitement with people? Have you ever wanted to know that? Come on. I mean, it's interesting. Put on your thinking caps today a little bit with me, okay? Imagination, thinking, and everything like that. So, first option, why I think Jesus told this man not to tell, and people say this, was it because Jesus was using reverse psychology? Why not? Was Jesus just saying, don't tell anybody, hoping that this man would run away and go tell everybody? Because this is what happened, and Bible doesn't condemn this guy. Now, what is reverse psychology? It's defined as telling a person something that is opposite of what you want him to do or believe. So did Jesus want him to do opposite what he said? So like, yeah, don't tell anybody, I said to you. No, I warn you, buddy. wasn't reverse psychology. Now, we see reverse psychology in advertisement and sales all the time. Have you ever heard a commercial? We have this special product for you, but don't tell anybody. That's a secret. That's a reverse psychology. What do they want you to do? They know our rebellious human nature, that if somebody tells us don't do it, guess what? We have energy to want to do it. Amen? Reverse psychology. Now, reverse psychology works with children. I mean, every parent, if you're a parent, because many just want to do opposite of what mom and dad is telling them. Right? So, it's like this. I got a candy, but I don't want you to eat it. And they're like, I want to eat it. And then it's a pill. You give them a cough medicine or something. Yeah. They did a study on little boys. In front of the school, on the path to school, they put a mirror. And they put rocks, landscaping rocks around it. And the boys were walking for weeks without taking a rock and throwing it in the mirror. Then they wrote on the mirror, little boys, do not throw stones in this mirror. Boys went by, whoa. They've seen it there before many times. This time they went by and maybe I just a little bit throw it in. What's going to happen? Maybe it's some kind of a trick. I want to do it. Reverse psychology is often used in dating. I'm not even going to teach you that. I'm not even going to go there. But a lot of... I don't think I'm ready for it. Oh, no, me neither. No. Be careful, guys and girls. There is... I mean, dating, there's so many tricks in dating. It's like in every glamour magazine or whatever magazine you read, there's like how to trick a guy into this. How to trick a girl into doing what you want. How to do seven times to do this, seven things, steps to do that. Be careful, there's tricks. Was Jesus using psychology? That's the question. Okay? Generals in the army... often in war, use psychology all the time, reverse psychology all the time. I read a book called The Art of War. Any of you heard of that? I mean, amazing book, strategy book that was written like 4,000 years ago. It talks about how to use spies, okay? And in that book, there's different type of spies and how you use them. He said, spies are inevitable part of war. If you don't have spies on your team, you're blind. Okay, because you don't know what the other team is doing. Okay? But he said, what do you do if you discover somebody to be a foreign spy in your team? Because the enemy will hire spies as well. They don't want to be blind, right? And so what this guy said was, if you discover that there's a spy in your camp, then what you do is you use it, don't just go and kill him right away. Make him a reverse spy. Tell him information that you want him to take to your enemy and then do the opposite. Tell him in secret or a group, say, we're going to attack in 3 days and we're going to attack from the west. And our cavalry is going to attack first. And then attack 2 days in 2 days and do it from the east. And you'll catch him off guard. Reverse psychology is used as a trick. If you're very good, if you're a strategist, if you could see steps ahead, you can use reverse psychology, but it's a trick, and it only works for a little bit. Eventually, kids realize that my parents are tricksters, and they use reverse psychology on me, so they're going to doubt you too much. Right? They're going to question, and they're going to not do everything. You're going to confuse them, pretty much. And when they're confused, their self-esteem will go down. Very important for kids to have great self-esteem. Okay, and so reverse psychology is a trick. And so today I want to dismiss the fact that Jesus was using reverse psychology to make his healed guy to go and tell about him. Would you agree with me? How many of you would agree with me that Jesus didn't use reverse psychology? Makes sense, right? Okay, look at the Bible. Find me another place Jesus used reverse psychology. He didn't. He was a straight shooter. He called a woman a dog. he just called the guy who wanted to follow him. He called him, you know, leave me alone. Fox have holes and birds have nests and I don't have a place where to lay my head. Get out of here. I mean, he was a straight shooter. He calls Pharisees, vipers. And he calls them coffins with full of, So nowhere we see Jesus using tricks. Now, the reason you need reverse psychology is because of human, fall, rebellious, sinful nature. If I tell you, would you please come here on Friday night and pray? Automatically, your human nature will say no. You have to be really spiritual to come. You really do. You have to really be training your body, disciplining your body to say, I'll come and pray at night when I want to watch TV or go to the movies or, you know, sleep. So I dismiss psychology. Yes, maybe somebody doesn't. Now, does Jesus understand reverse psychology? Oh yeah, he knows it. But Bible says there was no deceit found in him. And in reverse psychology, isn't there some sort of a deceit happening? It's a deceit. It says no deceit was found in him. And the Bible does not say anything like that about us. Amen? Are you still with me? How many of you enjoying this? It's not only spiritual lesson. It's a psychology lesson here for you. Okay? Because Bible, God created psychology. Amen? He knows exactly how we're made. He knows exactly how we think. He knows our thought from far off, Bible says. David says, before I even have a thought, he knows I'm going to think it. I used to struggle with that. When I was 8 years old, I was like, God, what if I think this? What if I think that, but then change my mind? Did you know? I would argue. I would lay there in bed and couldn't sleep and just argue with God about who, if He knows everything. Then I just gave up because it was like so deep. You can't go there. Hallelujah. Now, second option. Why did Jesus tell this man not to go and tell anybody? Is that because he didn't want his miracles to be advertised. Now, why is it so bad for Jesus to advertise His miracles? How many of you still got your thinking caps on? Follow me. We're kind of a church that unconventional. We don't preach six steps to, you know, success and stuff. We just kind of preach the Bible and you catch what you catch. Okay? Yeah. Because those seven steps you still won't do if I teach you. You won't do it. I didn't do them. Just, it's a gradual thing. Notice Jesus preaches on sowing and reaping, and some people get it, some don't. And he says, those who get it those who don't. He says, some of them, their ears are deaf, spiritually. So I'll preach to them, but I don't want them to get it. So it's preaching is interesting. I had a point on preaching here. Where's that at? Oh, perfect. Coming up. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Hallelujah. Okay, opinion number two was because Jesus didn't want his miracles to be advertised. Now, why not? Okay, prideful and boastful. That's good. All right. Why not? Let me ask you that question. Why didn't Jesus want his miracles to be advertised? Okay. So if you advertise it, there's a catch with it, maybe. Right? Now, let me give you my opinion before. And you can Facebook yours. All right? People don't automatically become Christians because they see or receive miracles from God. Would you agree? Many people who saw Jesus do miracles, and maybe some of those who've been healed, later yelled, crucified him. Many of those people who saw him do miracles, they had proof a blind man seeing, a deaf hearing, a mute talking. Later, you crucify him. So miracles don't make people a true believers in God. He didn't want a man who didn't know nothing about Jesus to advertise miracles, because that's not the main point. Who is the main point in Jesus coming to earth? Jesus. God. Relationship with God. Now, what would have happened, and what did happen, is that this man went out and started advertising the miracle. And most people, if you say candy, what happens? Doesn't matter. They will run and try to grab some candy. So Jesus didn't want to become a spectacle, a show. Because that was what happened. He wasn't a son of God anymore. He was a miracle worker. A guy who could help me out if I'm sick. Now, does Jesus like to help people out? Yes. But is that his main point? No, he came to save the sinners. And all he became after this man began to advertise him, a miracle worker, a witch doctor, a mystic, Jewish mystic, rabbi, who can heal you. Whoo! That's not the reputation Jesus wanted. Second, this man didn't know Jesus. Would you agree? He met him. It was a grace of God towards him and mercy of God that he met Jesus. And Jesus wanted to meet him, no doubt about it. But this guy did not know Jesus. Would you agree? He couldn't. Especially that he was the Son of God. All he knew is that he can make a trick. He can make leprosy go away. Yes. Jesus didn't want to be known only as a miracle worker. And many times he rebuked people and he said to those who ate bread and fish, he said, you didn't come to me because you came to me because you wanted to eat, you ate bread and ate fish. That's why you're here. You come for the bread. You don't care about my words. There's the power of preaching. Listen, guys, especially to my the guys that I'm training kind of in preaching and ministry, you got to listen to this. Preaching is a powerful tool. Two things happen when we preach. One, the seed is being sown. And then it falls on different types of ground. So Jesus didn't want to just heal a guy, and then what? The guy won't listen to anything else he says. He's just running around telling everybody how he's healed, right? So that wasn't the point. So number one thing happens when we preach. The word is a seed and it's being sown. So today what I'm doing, I'm sowing the seed. Now if your heart is good heart, it's going to fall there. And once it falls there, guess what it's going to do? Produce, and it's going to grow. So that's why to Jesus it was more important that preaching would be happening, teaching would be happening, than just people coming to him for a miracle, to get some free food. How many of you know when churches feed people, that's all people come for is food? Rarely they come for more. We had a guy, his name is Captain Bob. He was working in Argentina and he told us, don't do that. Don't just feed people. They said they had thousands of people come in Argentina and they would feed thousands of people, food, free food. And then they noticed that people didn't want Jesus or nothing. They just came for free food. And then they would advertise, there's free chicken dinner over here at this mission or this church. And people would come and have chicken stuck between their teeth. And when somebody said Jesus, they said, what Jesus? We don't want him. We just came for food. And he said when they stopped giving food, the mob rose up, almost tear them down. That's how bad it became. And that was a sign, he said, that people didn't come for Jesus. They were trying to bring Jesus by giving them food. He said, yes, we should feed people. And listen, I'm not saying we shouldn't feed people with food. We should feed the poor. And we do that. We give in our church, and some of you give to many different organizations. Thank God for that. But that's not what's going to change lives. Because you feed them today, they're going to be hungry tomorrow. And Jesus didn't want to just feed them. He wanted to give them a kingdom. within your heart, right? The kingdom of God is within. He wanted to change their culture within. And they were just coming for the healing. And so, number two reason why I think that Jesus told him, and I think this one could be more credible, is that they would just come for the miracles, and Jesus didn't want people just to come for the miracles. Now, this guy disobeyed Jesus, actually. Last week I said he disobeyed and yet was right. I think more today, Ron, that he disobeyed Jesus. And they started running to him. Because listen to verse 45. So Jesus could no longer openly enter the city. He could no longer meet another leper who God had him encounter. Everybody was just coming for the chicken. For a miracle. You know what I mean? Everybody, they were either coming to see, or some were coming to get one. But everybody was coming, Pharisees included. And then they started attacking Jesus. And Jesus could no longer come and be in a city. He couldn't go and eat at somebody's house, Zacchaeus' house anymore. He couldn't come and eat at Peter's house anymore. Amen? He was just limited now from the city. Imagine if somebody gives you $100 and says, please don't tell anybody. Now, there was no reverse psychology involved. Pure heart. He said, please don't tell because people will start running to me and saying, hey, remember I'm your friend from high school? What do they really want? $100. It wasn't real encounter. It wasn't real relationship. Plus, the reason Jesus didn't want people to come just for the miracle, because they came with their own motive already. He had no chance, no time, opportunity to tell them something else. Because they set their mind already on what? They came already for the trick, and doesn't matter what he was going to tell them. So that's why he said, he strictly warned him, don't tell. Now what's the lesson here for us today? Right? We can't just tell people that Jesus, come to Jesus and he'll fix your marriage. He'll fix your problems. He'll give you a boyfriend. Because he might not. He might not. He will heal your body. He might not. Some people are still sick and Christian. Right? We can't lie to people and just... Now, does Jesus do that? Amen. Does he heal? Does he change our families? Does he heal the brokenhearted? Does he do all that? Yes, he does. But most of all, he saves lives. He makes us go from one kingdom, from one culture, the earth culture, to a new culture. Oh, and it's so hard to go from culture to culture. Oh, I know. I've been trying to be, talk like you, act like you, and I'm still from another culture. It's so hard. And so a lot of people just get saved and stay in the same culture. They don't enter a kingdom of God culture. How many of you know that a lot of us are just Christians by association because we're Americans? Apostle Paul writes in Romans, he said, you say that, remember they would say, we're Jewish by nature. We're God's children. We're children of Abraham. Notice they associated themselves because they were Jewish. They said they were saved. And Paul was saying, unless your heart is circumcised, unless you become a part of a different heart, a different culture. And guys, trust me, it's so hard to change culture. Those of you who grew up somewhere else or born somewhere else, Maria, I mean, it's so hard. We try. It's so hard. And that's why people, they just give up trying to change culture. And they stay within their culture. Now, on earth, it's fine. When it comes to human cultures, you know, different nationalities, it's totally cool. But when it comes with being a culture of corruption and death, and father is the devil, to being a culture of God and kingdom of God, there's no options there. We either are or we're not. And many of us, we get saved and we don't change. Because we don't try. And it does take effort to change cultures. And God only works with us. He doesn't just change us by himself. He works with us. The third option, and I'm going to go quick through this one, is that opposite of don't tell anyone is what? go tell everybody. And that would be self-promotion. Jesus, if Jesus said to this leper, hey, could you please go tell everybody? I'll give you $5 too with that. Big Mac with that. Healing. It would be self-promotion. And we never see Jesus self-promoting. Never. He actually, one time he just said something so controversial that everybody left him. And only 12 disciples were with him. And he said, do you want to leave me as well? Go ahead. And they're like, no, where can we go? You have the words of life. Hallelujah. Jesus was never a self-promoter. So saying go and tell everybody would be just not in his character. Hallelujah. Why didn't this guy obey? Opinion one, whatever. He was excited. Now, do I make him a bad guy? No, I don't. He was just a natural, excited person. He was probably blue in character, personality type. He was just a social person. He loved people. And this disease stopped him from having relationships, meaningful relationships. And he just wanted to go and tell everybody. Now, so next thing, he wanted people to see that he was normal. After you've been sick, and after you've been pointed fingers at, look at him, look at that living zombie. He wanted to people say, hey, what happened to you? You're all right. Wow. Looking good. Jimmy? Right? I mean, wouldn't you? If you could not walk, you were in a wheelchair, you got up and you used to play basketball with people, wouldn't you want to go on the same court and say, hey, look at me. Ooh. Lose my mic. So he was natural response. But he still needed to get to know Jesus. And that's the whole point. The whole point of Christianity and of us being here is we want to get to know Jesus. Now, does he add those things to us? Yeah. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And everything, say everything, will be added unto you. Your boyfriend will be added unto you. Stop worrying about that. You'll get a job. Don't worry. Seek God with all your heart. Now, I got to finish. So the biggest lesson from here today, I want you to get out of this book. Jesus has compassion on people. Even the people who do not know him or don't have faith. And then he forbids him to tell because he don't want people to come in just for the chicken or for a miracle. He wants them to come because they heard the word of preaching. Remember, preaching is powerful. Two things happened, remember? What? Seed is being sown and faith comes by hearing the word. How can they hear if there is no preacher? So two things. Seed is being sown. Faith comes. When faith comes, leprosy. Remember, leprosy leaves. And faith comes. They have legs, both of them. Sickness has legs, it leaves. Devil has legs, it leaves. Faith has legs and it comes. When faith comes, doubt leaves. Don't oversell and this is a lesson for all of us, don't oversell Jesus in our talking about him. We should tell him to go and see him. Come, see him. The way what he says, what he does, he's the Son of God. He can forgive your sins. He did mine. And he could do all these things. But don't just sell him as a trickster who could do a miracle and give you what you want, make you wealthy, healthy, rich, give you a model, supermodel, girlfriend or boyfriend, handsome boyfriend, and that's it. No. That's not what we come to Jesus for. We come to him because he's Christ, the Son of the living God, who came to rescue us. Hallelujah. I'm into this, as you can tell. I'm excited about this. Would you please stand to your feet?